takes a lot of hands and hearts to make a Sunday service work. So I want to offer gratitude to all the folks who made today possible, from the musicians, worship associates, Jennifer Lydon in the office, who communicated with me over several months. And I want to give a special shout out to Tom. Are you in the room? Tom, there you are. Who performed the ministry of feeding the minister so that I can make it through the service. Gather in peace. Gather in thanks. Gather in hope, compassion, and strength. Isn't that what we do when we come to church? When we bring ourselves to worship with aching hearts, with our joys and celebrations, with the complexities of our lives, we come together, gathering in hope, sometimes seeking to find courage, strength, to be brave. I'm grateful to have been invited to be here with you this morning. It is good to be together in community on this day. Dear ones, it is good to be together. Now, as I was preparing to be here today, I thought I'd learn a little about you and your ministry, and what I learned inspired me. Your work in the local community, housing families who are struggling with homelessness and poverty, service trips with HOME Home, tackling gun violence, which, as we know, is and has been an urgent topic, advocating with the LGBT community, your warmth and generosity of spirit that I have experienced just being here with you today, all of this you do, siding firmly with love. I'm inspired. As I was thinking about preaching today, I asked myself, what do you say to a community already committed to doing the work? What do you say to a community already dedicated to healing themselves and to healing the world? A community already seeking to live love and spread the reign of justice? Because South Church, you are committed, right? See, some people were awake in the 9 o'clock service. You're committed to seeking to live love, to spread the reign of justice, yes? I gotta tell you guys, warms my heart that the 11 o'clock service is more awake than the 9 o'clock. And you're right there with me, so keep that up. I want to tell you a story, something that happened some time ago out in Colorado where I lived. A few years ago, Raul, a member of our Unitarian Universalist community, was facing deportation. Raul was here in the United States, undocumented, working, raising a family, which included then two adolescent boys and a young daughter. He coached soccer for his kids, cared for his father-in-law. The family made meals together. He and his wife, Judy, cared for each other, for their children. They're all active members of their communities, but that wasn't enough. To be undocumented in this country is to be without security, to be without the basic rights that some of us take for granted. There he was, facing deportation. There he was, summoned to court, where the fate of his life, the life of his sons, his daughter, the marriage and family he'd built for many years, the communities he'd nurtured, were all precariously perched in the hands of the state. Calling this story, I got to thinking about this Mark Nepo quote, in which he says, "Another powerful way to realize our interconnectedness is to imagine the human family as a stand of aspens growing by the river. Though each tree appears to be growing independently, not attached to the others, beneath the soil, out of view, the roots of all the trees exist as one enormous root." And so, Nepo says, like these trees, our soul's growth, while appearing to be independent, is intimately connected to the health of those around us. for our spirits are entwined at the center, out of view. Recalling that story about Raoul, I got to thinking about aspens growing by the river. I got to thinking about that quaking aspen grove called Pando, which means ice spread, rumored to be the largest known organism on Earth, circling about 106 acres, weighing over 6,000 metric tons. It's really hard to picture that. Pando is rumored to be more than 80,000 years old. I got to thinking about how a single seed, maybe carried on the wind, maybe washed ashore from the river, one seed, one single seed, so many centuries ago, rooted itself into the fertile Utah soil, maybe not knowing what it would become. And I can't help but think that somewhere deep beneath the earth, the roots of Pando are spread far and wide, anchoring this glorious creature determined to spread its magnificence. Each tree in this grove, Pando, appearing to grow independently, not attached to the others, but beneath the soil, out of view. The roots of all the trees exist as one enormous root system, the health of one dependent on the health of another, their tree spirits entwined. Now, I'm guessing that some of you have seen quaking aspen in the fall, and I have to tell you, during coffee hour, someone told me that you don't have aspens in New Hampshire, which goes to prove that the internet isn't always right. But that said, I would guess that some of you have seen these aspens in the fall. And I keep being told that fall in this area is not to be missed. You probably know that the quaking aspen is magnificent. The yellow, burnt orange, occasional blushes of red, proclaiming glory, leaves whispering up to the sky. And that isn't to say that it isn't glorious in spring. It is, with its crisp white bark and fluttering verdant leaves. Think of Pando, determined to spread its magnificence for centuries in spite of storms, fires. It kept going, tree connected to tree, each part of the same root, feeding and being fed by each other. That's amazing. That is amazing. That beautiful creature, determined to remain rooting while growing, upward and outward, determined to live, to spread. Not that different from what communities of faith are called to do today. Not that different. Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker, in her address, What They Dream Be Ours to Do, reminds us that part of our root system is bound up in the Free Church tradition of the 16th century. Parker reminds us that our religious ancestors, and I quote, in the presence of injustice and oppression, embraced freedom. They advocated for free speech, dissent, open debate, tolerance of different opinions in a disciplined search for truth. Our religious ancestors, she says, challenged economic systems that neglected the poor, justice systems that were unfair, prison systems that were cruel, and economic practices that concentrated wealth in the hands of a few. End quote. I mean, they took on challenges that don't sound that different from what we're up against today, right? That was not rhetorical. It's all good. Those challenges don't sound that different from what we're up against today. And those are the roots that hold us. Isn't that also magnificent? Isn't that a thing of glory? The seeds. Because for Unitarian Universalists, there's more than one seed. The seeds from which we sprang were ones that held a commitment to living love and spreading the reign of justice in their time. And maybe they had no idea what would become of their commitments. Maybe they couldn't imagine hundreds of years into the future. But friends, here we are, a living legacy called to be in covenant with other faith communities of today, yes, and also faithful to the covenants that are a part of our tradition that asks us to, and I quote Parker again, resist oppression by directly challenging the authority of oppressors, acting to remove them from power, and establishing new structures or alternative communities that put what is hoped for into practice, end quote. And to do all of that by the very practices of how we are together in our communal life. We do all of that by letting everything we do as communities of faith be a reflection of our commitment to living love that is active, bold, creative, and spreading justice that's willing to resist, challenge, and is generative. We do that by remembering that our roots are entwined and the health of one affects the health of all. We do it by exercising our courage, by being brave, by exercising our strength, grounded in compassion, challenging, maybe even as we quake, challenging the authority of oppressors and doing so without ceasing. Now, I want to be sure you got this. I want to be sure you know that you feel this to be true, that what we do and how we are in the world matters. Retired UU minister Reverend Nancy Bowen says courageous love will transform the world. Reverend Nancy wasn't talking about a fuzzy abstract kind of love when she wisely said those words, courageous love will transform the world, when she added salvation in this lifetime, which requires just acts. I think she was talking about families like Raul, Judy, and their three children, and the communities that supported them. You see, on the day of Raul's immigration court appearance, and I want you to stay with me because I'm talking about directly challenging oppressive systems now. On the day of Raul's immigration court appearance, about 20 clergy members from our four mountain desert states filed into that courtroom in Denver. A courtroom with its cramped seats, more suitable for about a dozen people. Lay members from area congregations joined, all simply there to side with love. The judge, clearly moved by our presence, asked that the record show the community of witnesses gathered in the courtroom. Some 4,000 people signed petitions, called, sent letters. Fact is, actively resisting the notion that this family should be torn apart. And they did this by living love that is a conduit for spreading justice. It was a seed, our presence. It was a seed of hope, made manifest by our being there to demonstrate the depth of our values and our faith. And I choose to believe that our seed of hope caused a flash of compassion in that judge. Today, that dear family is still here, united, and the threat of deportation is no more. Not every family is so lucky. Today, their immigration case is closed because of the persistence of that one family grounded in their UU faith, and because of the allyship of community partners who sided with love, dedicating themselves to dismantling injustice, and because of our UU commitment to rooting in our covenant, being a prophetic community of faith ready to join with others, that family's world changed. And the wider world can change because of our commitment to, as long as we have breath, because of our commitment to make manifest our Unitarian Universalist values in the world. Make manifest a love that sows seeds of hope. Make manifest a love that sows seeds of justice. A love like rain that nurtures seeds of discontent with economic systems that neglect the poor, justice systems that are in fear, prison systems that are cruel, and economic practices that concentrate the wealth in the hands of a few. Such a courageous love will transform the world. And we sowers, seed planters, can establish new structures or alternative communities that put what is hoped for into practice. Isn't that what the church does at its best? Well, if you don't know the answer to that one, we're in trouble. Isn't that what the church does at its best? Putting what is hoped for into practice by being an alternative. We sowers of the seeds of love and justice. And who are we, just to make sure you're with me? Sowers of the seeds of love and justice get to live in the urgency of now while nurturing and tending to a vision of the kingdom, that hoped for shared community in which equity is real. That kingdom is the future. It is hard. It is work. You know this because you've been at it. It is hard work, needed, holy, salvific work. And here we are, like all those who went before us, to dig in, to root and do that work. The work we do, the seeds we sow, individually and communally, the visions we nurture, can and do make a difference. I think about the roots of Pando. I spread that quaking aspen in Utah, the seed that grew into a grove whose roots continue to spread far and wide across the centuries, magnificent, enduring. Amen.